Hey guys, it's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's a Monday. We're at the Jacobson Building. What's up, Rob Gray? It's the seniors.
You know what's up? San Jose Spartans week. That's what's up.
Are you ready? Do you feel like you're ready for the San Jose State Spartans?
I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I'm ready. It seems as if you're a bit under the weather.
Yeah, my allergies are kicking my ass, dude. I spent too much time outside on Saturday.
That's a shame, because spending time outside is important. Mm-hmm. Now I'm wondering about our seniors' camping trip and whether we'll actually be able to do it. Well, if it's late enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be okay. It's just usually I have like a week or so where I just really get my butt kicked for a while.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough. Your immune system is going haywire right now.
So Iowa State, obviously, a 41-20 loss to TCU on Saturday. I haven't gotten a chance to go back and watch the game yet. I listened to most of it on the radio on Saturday, but I have to go back and actually watch. So why don't you give us some of your takeaways, and then we'll kind of discuss it.
Well, I'll start with the positives. Obviously, getting the rushing game going for Mike Warren was important. 95 yards, 23 carries. It seemed like a couple of them. He was just this close. You know, a lot of guys piling on, but pulling free for a much bigger gain, if not a touchdown. And I asked him about that, and he said they're going to get rolling. You know, the adjustments are being made. They keep adding pieces. I mean, Brian Cheetah.
Cheddar.
Yeah, like, on the guard.
Like cheddar cheese.
Like cheddar instead of just cheddar. Really impressed them. He said the line has played better progressively from week one to week two to week three.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the bad thing is Alan Lazard had one catch. The good thing is he took some people away, and as Matt Campbell mentioned in his weekly press conference, that creates running lanes at times, and it did for Warren, and it maybe might open up the quarterbacks a little bit more too when they're running, if teams are committed to doing that all the time. And I'm sure Lazard will get his under some of those circumstances in the future as well. So, you know, some positives. I mean, the defense mostly, you know, buttoned down up TCU. I mean, they forced a number of three and outs, but those big plays, you know, the big run, touchdown run by Hicks, and just some big third down plays kind of hurt them, even though they were pretty good on third down. You know, got some pressure on Kenny Hill. Still can't buy a takeaway.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of the same song, different verse. You know, you're seeing some progress, but obviously not nearly enough to be competitive and feel like you're in the football game. But that might change this week when I think a pretty decent, kind of plucky San Jose State team comes into town.
I think that, I don't think we even really realized how big Dondre Daley being out really hurt them in that second game. And then he got hurt. What did he get hurt in the second quarter or something on Saturday?
Yeah, he clearly wasn't right because he had a couple drops. And then, you know, the drops, you know, passing was better, I think, from both quarterbacks, Joel Lanning and Jacob Park. But there were some drops out on the field. Darius Lee Campbell had a great catch after one of his drops, which is always good to see. And he only had one drop, but, you know, big catch. Deshante Jones was big. So you saw some guys emerge that hadn't done a whole lot yet. Justin Chandler with that. It looked like his hand was a catcher's mitt. There was a high throw to him. And you must not have seen the highlight because you haven't seen the game, but he literally just reached up one arm, grabbed it, had it clutched in his hand, and pulled it down for a nice gain.
There you go.
So the tight ends got involved, which
it's a good thing I didn't make any claims about shotgunning Natty Lights on the seniors if a tight end caught a ball this week.
Oh, that's true.
Because I would have been doing two.
For sure. But, yeah, I mean, you know, penalties happen late in the game. They were pretty clean early on. They're just still making too many mistakes. Defenders I talked to today, Mike Johnson, Pierre Aka, mentioned missed assignments as an issue. But it doesn't seem like they're getting bullied. And TCU has big, beefy, athletic guys in the trenches. And it didn't really seem like they were getting pushed around the Cyclones that much, which is a positive. And obviously you search for positives in an 0-3 start because you want something to build off of. The negatives are what the reason you're 0-3 too.
I think that they had the ball for 32 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's something you can build on. That's something that that can help you find your identity, I think.
Yeah. They were able to grind out some first downs and take some time. Now TCU scored quickly,
yeah,
like, as they're wont to do it at times. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of little positives that still add up to 0-3. But perhaps a San Jose State team that's 1-2 beat up on Portland State, but was really competitive against Utah in a 34-17 loss late Saturday night after getting just blasted by Tulsa in week one on the road. They got some pieces. Cyclones were favored by 6, I think, at the open, and we'll see how that plays out. But clearly that tells you Vegas is at least paying attention to both programs.
So what do you think is going to be the deal with this quarterback situation? Are we just going to keep seeing two most of the time, or do you think somebody's going to kind of emerge, or is it just they're going to like I said, they're going to just work it with two and see how that can take them?
I think they're going to go two for quite a while. That's just my gut. And I thought, considering that Lanning led the scoring drives until the late field goal for the backdoor cover, in that game, Cole Netton's 11 straight. What that tied his record, I believe, or the school record that he'd set before. But talking to Joel Lanning today after the presser, He hinted that that's the sense he gets, that they're going to roll that way for a while. And he said he has no problem with it. He's got a great relationship with Jacob Park. They spent a lot of time talking in between series. What did you see there? What did I see there? And he said they were pretty close, which is significant, I think, when a former four-star JUCO guy comes in and you're the reigning starting quarterback, you might feel like putting some defenses up. I know Joel Lanning wants to win above all else because that's kind of been his life story. So it's encouraging to hear about their relationship being that good and being reasonably close. So I see it that way going forward because their running styles are so different.
Right.
I mean, Lanning has some speed, but as we saw on the 8-yard touchdown run, he just relishes bowling people over. Mm-hmm. And Park, kind of some nifty footwork moves to get some gains for him. If a play broke down and he was flush from the pocket and just had to make something out of nothing. So, different arms, but as Campbell said today, both of them have strong arms. Both of them can deliver it downfield. So, I think unless one of them just, goes the first four drives they're in, they lead touchdown drives.
Yeah.
And the other one throws a couple picks. Well, then you'll see that sorted out really quickly.
Right.
But if they're both reasonably productive, I thought the offense looked better against TCU than it looked against anybody. Obviously, it tied for the most points, sadly, 20 in a game this season. But just crisper execution generally, even with Lazard getting targeted 3 times. And so we'll see. But I'm getting the sense that it's going to be this way for at least this week, and you see from there.
So you brought up San Jose State. We've got some names. I want to talk to you about Mike Warren first.
Mm-hmm.
That dude answered the call,
I would
say.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely he did. And it seemed like he did, even just during, heck, after the Iowa game.
Because,
Coach Campbell said, he's got to be responsible for some things. And when he said out the field, I presume he meant in a leadership capacity. And he ran really hard. And again, I don't think he wasn't running hard before, but I think there was some indecision. He'd touched on, I've got to really trust these guys.
Yeah.
I've got to really trust these guys, whether they're new, whether they're whatever, I got to trust them. I saw more trust there. And, just a good game against, I think even though TCU gave up 41 in both of their first two games, I think they got some talent on defense, and they're getting healthy in a lot of ways. And heck, they lost some key bits in that game, too. Caraway went down. Definitely answered the call. And I don't think anybody would have expected anything different who's been around the program ever since he started playing.
Definitely. I think the thing about him is, he's not going to be quite as effective when he's only getting – by the way, if you have to cough, you can just hit this button.
Okay, great.
But I think he's not very effective when he's only getting – 7, 8, 9 carries, because a lot of what he does is he'll get those carries and he'll pound one for 3, 4, 2, 3, mm-hmm. Just like a couple yards, and then all of a sudden 12 yards, 15 yards, 20 yards, sometimes even last season he go 40 yards. Like he's like a chip, 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 bam type of running back, not give him the ball, and all of a sudden it's electric. You know, everybody holds their breath. He could be gone in a second.
Yeah, yeah, very much like so many really, really good running backs who consistently put up numbers. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much room, but they earn that two-yard run. They earn that three-yard run. They earn that next two, the next two. Stopped at the line, and then boom, yeah, 15, 20. And then you get the one big one. And the numbers are always good. And you're wearing those guys down, too, because you're tough to take down. You're tough to chase down. So good to see him back. And Lanny really ran the ball well as well. And I asked him about whether, given that they seem to be going forward two quarterbacks, are they trying to, I don't know, amplify that element that he gives? And he said, oh, I don't know, maybe. I this is editorializing, but I kind of got the sense that he wants to. And, I mean, we know how much he enjoys delivering hits at times, and he got to do that a couple times in that game. But, I mean, look, he'll say he liked the way Park runs too, even though it's a completely different style. But it doesn't sound like they're necessarily going to focus on that more with him.
Yeah.
But he said they might. So I guess that's where we're at with that aspect.
So turning the page to San Jose State, you said they stayed pretty competitive with Utah most of the night on Saturday night. Who are some of the guys that we got to know? Who are the big names that we need, that we got to keep an eye on Saturday morning?
Well, offensively, I'd go with quarterback Kenny Potter, who may or may not be banged up a little bit. Josh Love has played some for them. 50% passer. Love doesn't seem to have the same upside, although he does have a pass for 50-plus. Potter is a veteran, completing 61% of his passes, 5 TDs, 2 picks. Had a big pick late in the in Saturday's game that hurt them. Turnovers hurt them, generally speaking. So maybe that's a positive sign for Iowa State too, if they're kind of in that rut.
Maybe if they could get like 2 picks and a fumble on Saturday, maybe that'll open the floodgates a little bit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, if you get one, you see somebody get one, it's like, hey, I want one of those.
It's weird how it happens. And there were some guys that were close. I mean, again, I thought the coverage from the secondary was pretty good. Yeah, you had a couple calls and a couple really nice passes. I mean, Hill made a couple nice passes just over the top when guys were there. You know, were they always there? No, but most of the time they were. It's just a matter of getting turned around, split second quicker. And then you're in a position to pick off the pass versus just defend it or get beat on it. So, you know, since they're turning the ball over, maybe that feeds into this week and Iowa State can finally get another takeaway after 1 in 3 weeks.
Definitely. So they have a good running back too, right?
Yeah, Deontay Cooper. He's solid. I think he's kind of their workhorse. 4.4 yards, got a touchdown. I don't know how you pronounce his first name, but Zamore Ziegler.
Zamore Ziegler. That's outstanding.
He's got a big 74-yard run. They got Malik Roberson with an 87-yard run.
I wonder if he's like a Wildcat type guy or something.
I think he is, and I think he's done some quarterbacking because he threw one pass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if they put him back there as a quarterback sometimes.
Yeah, they've got some athletes too. I mean, Potter can run it. I think he's been sacked a few times, so his average isn't great, but got a couple touchdown runs as well. So, I mean, they got some good guys at the skilled positions. Now, obviously, they've given up 45 points, 35 points, and 34 points in their first three games, but I don't know. Defensively, I think they have some playmakers as well. Utah can put up, you know, a pretty good number of points. And they limited them to some degree. I think they were down 20-10 at halftime and, you know, just got outscored 14-7 in the second half. So this is no pushover a team for sure.
Excuse me. This is going to be the first time that Iowa State's had the same 5 guys start on the offensive line this season. Knock on wood. Sorry. But with, you know, Nick Fett, I think he's going to play left tackle again. J.P. Filbert, Coach Campbell said today, was not going to be available on Saturday. And then Brian Shetta and Bo Beck and Scoggins and Good Jones. That makes me think that they could be primed for to make a little bit of a jump from week one, from like last week to this week. You get a little continuity. They haven't had that continuity yet, you know. Because they've gotten better from where they were week one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they didn't get better the next week. And then they got better week three. And they've had different guys each time. I feel like once you finally get that core group, you get a group of five guys. Finally, you can start making leaps as a group rather than just maybe some small steps forward.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I'd argue also that week two, I thought they performed a little bit better than they did against you and I. There was less of a breakdown all over the place. But
a little bit better, but not.
Yeah, it was a fairly significant jump. Again, we're talking about an 0-3 team that hasn't been competitive in their last two games. But, you know, sometimes it's baby steps, and that's how growth occurs, and those baby steps accumulate and lead into, you know, some bigger positives versus the little ones, the little silver linings that you find.
Uh-huh.
But, I think they've really hit on perhaps a really good frontline group relative to what we've seen this season. And, you know, let's say Warren can have a big day.
Yeah.
Let's say hit on a couple of big passes. Everyone's healthy in the receiving core. I'd like this offense to get, you know, they haven't held anyone under 34. I'd like this offense to get at least into the 30s this game. And then you've made some progress. And the defense has showed signs as well. Just eliminate the big plays. More assignment sound football. And I like the Cyclones to get on the winning side of things. But as Coach Campbell said today, and the players are reiterating it as well, you've got to earn the right to not only win, but truly believe you can win. And that's all in the preparation. That's all in what you do Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, as Campbell pointed out today. And that seems to be resonating with the guys, that you can't just say, we expect to win. Sure, you want to win, but wanting to win and doing all the things necessary, I'm echoing Campbell here again too, but those are vastly different things. And I think it's really starting to dawn on these guys just how tall of a task it is to get back just to where they were a few years ago, where you're a bowl eligible type of team, let alone a team that maybe can knock on the door for 7-8 regular season wins,
right?
Which I think I know that's where they want to head, minimum.
I thought it was interesting when Coach Campbell this morning brought up when he said with Shedda and Nick Fett that he wished they could have them for 2 or 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested to know what kept them from getting anywhere near the rotation previously.
Yeah.
I'd never heard Brian Shedda's name before. And then now Coach Campbell is talking him up like he's, you know, he was saying that he goes 100% in practice. He said that they knew in fall camp that he was going to be a guy that could help them. Was he not a guy that could help them previously?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand that, I guess.
That's can we settle on calling that a head scratcher
or
head scratchers?
Yeah,
because I mean, Fett has been,
and Fett was solid even last year.
And he's had to move around
in
every game this week, and he gets the one start last year against Oklahoma State. They make a big point. It opened eyes. I remember Coach Rhodes talking about it. He played a really good football game.
Yeah,
I mean, how were they evaluating before?
It makes me
that
think they just didn't even take these guys seriously. Some of these walk-on offensive linemen.
Yeah, perhaps. And sometimes those are the guys that turn into your best people. I mean,
right.
Look at Kansas State, how many walk-ons they've developed on both sides of the ball into, you know, star players,
let alone
just good players.
Well, you hear Campbell talk about, he says, you know, Brian Shedda likes Iowa State more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Iowa State more than anybody. He bleeds Cardinal and gold. And those are the kind of guys you need in your program, the guys that are going to come in and – maybe they aren't the most talented, especially coming out of high school, but you know what they're going to do? They're going to work their ass off every single day to try and get on the field, because wearing that Cardinal and gold means something to them, you know? And I don't know. Like you said, that's a head scratcher.
Well, watch Shedda and the focus on him when he can, because I watching it real time on TV. Obviously, we didn't make the trip to Fort Worth, but he looked good.
Yeah.
Fett continues to look good. I think Scoggins is on the cusp of being a good, you know, taking another step.
Uh-huh.
Bo Beck, solid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're starting to assemble a solid crew up there. And like you said, that desire, once you can get on the field and actually show what you can do, I mean, that's invaluable. And I like that he also said that guy wanted to go on every tailgate tour stop and all of that.
Seriously?
I mean, the program.
I guess I didn't even hear him say that.
You know, so it's encouraging to see those guys in, and it's somewhat discouraging. You wonder I was the same way. Uh-huh. I was like, was this guy another grad transfer we just right. didn't hear about, you right. know, because of the shroud, the specter of the Tyler Catalina fiasco yeah. was cast over everything. But
well, it was like when the first depth chart came out right before the first game and I saw he was number two. I can't remember which guard spot it was that he was number two at, but it was like a major league moment when you're like, you're reading the newspaper and you're like, I've never even heard of any of these guys. Yeah. And it was just like, now all of a sudden he starts, performs well, and mm-hmm. it's like, okay, why haven't we seen him before?
Yeah, yeah. It's
I'm not blaming these coaches.
It's an open-ended question. That's what I'll say. Yeah, you just – it does lead you, like I said, to scratch your head and wonder, because they didn't really, let alone not get a chance to start, but just snaps.
Yeah. He played 70 snaps on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, in his first game.
Yeah, we'll scratch our heads. We'll just be happy that, you know, and hope that that development, that enthusiasm merges with improved technique and everything else, and they go forward.
So what's your prediction then?
I'm going to go I like the Cyclones by 10 or 14.
Yeah, I like Iowa State by 14 too. I think it'll be like 35-21. That's my prediction.
That sounds good. And then that's a bit more optimism.
38-21. Tack on a Cole Netton field goal.
All right. 12th in a row?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So I've got to add that this morning I posted a big recruiting update.
Big.
A lot of nuggets on the 2018 recruiting efforts by the Iowa State basketball coaches. Obviously, there will be the big visitors this weekend. Lindell Wigginton, 4-star point guard. Isaiah Stokes, 4-star forward / center, big 6'8 guy. And then you can add Terrence Lewis, Iowa State commit, onto that list. I would think that they're recruiting him to help recruit these guys in their efforts a little bit with adding these two guys to the class too.
For sure. Yeah, lots of great news there, and mm-hmm. great job by you gathering it.
As always, have to remind you about Cyclone Fanatic TV live tomorrow, Tuesday. At 12:15, from 12:15 to 1, me and Jeff Woody, we'll look back over the film of TCU. We'll look ahead to San Jose State a little bit, then obviously On the Trail and the Cyclone Fanatic radio show on Thursday. I think Chris Williams is actually going to show up this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Main attraction.
Yeah.
Other than you.
And then, of course, we'll have the Cyclone Fanatic tailgate show on Saturday. I will host that.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So I think that's about all we got.
That's all we got. I'm slightly under the weather. You're really under the weather.
I'm going to go take a nap on my couch.
Sounds fantastic. With Lolo?
Yeah, probably. Well, she doesn't really lay down very much, but she'll be around.
Sure.
Thanks, Rob Gray.
Thank you, Jared.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful week.